Engage the docks, swab the decks, and hoist the sails. The guns on board be needing some proper manning. Pieces of eight and a fine wench on your arm, if your work be not too shoddy. Be careful not to flounder too badly, though, or you may have to dance the hempen jig as we see you to Davy Jones. And Jeffy, my boy, on with the show.
Well, shiver me timbers.
To our listeners from across all regions of the planet, welcome once again aboard the Robin Hood, flagship to the world's one and only cooperatively inspired charity podcast network, WPRPN. Live streaming today from under South Korea's vast, Molithian-clouded, yet only somewhat mosquito-less skies, you're listening to what we can only hope will be a completely cancer-free episode 66 of Pirate Radio Podcasts. I'm your host, as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Joining us this week to discuss all things Infinite Imaginarium and beyond, we're welcoming back one of Minds.com's better-known longtime personalities, LA-based digital shaman, video editor, and poetic mashup artist Daniel De La Rosa, a.k.a. Satori D. Working to transform digital dreams into reality, Daniel originally founded the Minds Panel Show and is now both producer and host of the Infinite Imaginarium. Formed under the tripart banner, Connect, Collaborate, Create, the Infinite Imaginarium is an organic creative agency and social enterprise project, mostly comprised of an intimate group of artistic folk striving to have their work used for positive change in the world. If we're lucky, a few of his virtual friends and far-flung collaborators will actually even be joining Daniel today. At least this is the buzz we presently hear going around out on the busy seaside streets of Skullport Harbor.
I don't quite know if we're going to actually manage to trip the cosmic trigger here today or not, Daniel, but we're going to give it our best pirate shot. Fire in the hole.
You guys managed to make it. Looks like I think I saw you around here just a couple moments ago. Not too many from your crew there, the posse from England, and I think you had one of your Imaginarium cohorts or colleagues based out of San Francisco. She's fallen ill from the sounds of things, and so on and so forth. How are things going today, Daniel?
Things are going all right. I think she got a case of scurvy out there in the Bay Area. She needs to eat more oranges.
Yeah, that's right. A little more vitamin.
But everything's been good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, so we're just going to have to take it from here, I suppose. There's always a chance others could show up over the course of things, too. Let's not forget, we also have Corinne Wilson standing by. Corinne, she's another Los Angeles-based personality. So the two of you, this is your first time meeting, actually, is it not?
Yes, this is definitely my first time. Hi, I'm Corinne Wilson. I've only been in town here in LA for about a year, and I don't know that many people into what we're into, basically. And I'd like to get more into the community here and support the efforts of spirituality.
I think there's a bit of a spiritual angle as far as the Infinite Imaginarium project is concerned, is there not, Daniel?
Yeah, there is. Definitely. Nikki, she's actually based out of London. Her Imaginarium is definitely more in the spiritual angle. Myself, I do have a certain perspective, and it's, you know me about cosmic trigger, and even my symbol that I use for Satori D is an ancient shamanic symbol, so I'm pretty much in tune with that as well.
What is
I wanted to ask you about your name. Is it also sometimes pronounced like Satari, like an instant awakening? known in Buddhism?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. That's what I was curious about, and, you know, the spiritual angle and all that good stuff.
Yeah, Satori, I think it's from the Zen tradition. It means spontaneous and instant awakening, more or less. Is that not the case, Daniel?
Yes. I always liked it. I read Satori in Paris by Jack Kerouac. Yeah. And when I read that in college, that always, like, rang in my head. So when I came up with my handle on Minds, I figured I'd do something different than just my name. And that just came to me. And then snowballed from there into its own thing.
Have you actually had a chance to make it to Paris yet?
No, but I should.
It might be on, yeah, a list of things to do, the old bucket list there. So now I'm not sure if we're going to head off to the scurvy dog or take a trip out onto the high digital seas here via the Robinhood. We've also got a link here that you sent to us just yesterday. It's a little bit of your secret sauce recipe. The lo-fi hip-hop radio, relaxing beats to sleep and relax to. So we're thinking of maybe kind of easing into that a little bit. And why don't we just kind of let them help sort of guide things along here today as we get into our discussion. How does that sound?
That sounds good.
All right. So there we go. And we're off. It actually is kind of cool. It seems to be a pretty popular channel on YouTube. They have over 550 people now streaming and watching things live. So, yeah, once again, though, a few of your colleagues there weren't able to make it. Missy Nomer, I guess, claims to have fallen ill. I'm not sure with what exactly, whether she wants to go into specifics or details or have that revealed in a public forum or not, but she's out of San Francisco from what I understand, is she not?
Yes. Right now she's house sitting a mini mansion in Berkeley. Not too long ago she was down here in LA and we hung out.
Hey, that's cool. Yeah, so she's been quite active, a very colorful personality over on Minds, and definitely, yeah, a lot of fun to interact with, and I was looking forward to it. To having her drop by and be a part of things. It's too bad she missed out. So maybe next time. And let's not forget a couple of the other names that you had thought might be able to swing by were, well, Cartman, of course, but she's over in England. It's about 4 a.m. right now. What's the deal there besides her being super, super tired? Probably want to catch a little bit of sleep. It's a little too late for her, is it?
Yeah, she said she was going to, but for her all, so she probably just fell asleep.
Okay. And there's also, who was the, there's another podcaster, actually. I think he's based, is it Wales or Scotland? Is it Up With People, I believe, is the name of his show, if I got that right?
Life Is People. Tim from Life Is People.
We Advance, is that not, there's some kind of tie-in with the We Advance slogan as well, too, correct?
Yeah. We Advance, N99, and Life Is People. He's creating his own platform off of Made Safe for musicians, and that's the N99. And so all those three entities are his stuff.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, he seems to be a pretty busy guy, to say the least. So we were going to talk mainly about Infinite Imaginarium here today, but let's not forget there was an earlier show. I guess it was just the last 6 or maybe even 8 weeks or so. We had booked a Minds Roundtable that didn't quite come off the way we'd hoped it would have. Thankfully, though, Mike, a.k.a. Minds Gaming, managed to make it out. And kind of pick up some of the slack. You had a little bit of, I guess, some work that came up at the last minute, and I guess when it came down to the question of whether you wanted to make a little money or hang out with the pirates aboard the Robin Hood, well, we have a little bit of booty here to share too, of course, but I guess what, you had some kind of DJ gig or something like that?
No,
Wow, isn't that something? Daniel, you're cutting in and out. He seems to be getting a little bit of cock blocking going on there on his end of things for some reason. Corinne, can you hear him?
No, actually, I did not. I can't hear him either, but I just posted for you a question, or actually a request from Jennifer Knight from the YouTube, where she wanted him to tell the Rushkoff story.
Oh.
Yeah, bathtub gin.
The Rushkoff story. So, yeah, well, I think he's Daniel. You've been doing a little bit of work with Douglas Rushkoff over the last little while, have you not?
Yeah, I've been talking to him via email, and I shared with him some videos that I've done of the... He has a podcast, Team Human, and I reached out to him to get his book. And we just started talking, and I don't know, he forwarded the email to his producer, and maybe I might be on Team Human. I'm trying to get him on Infinite Imaginarium, but it was really cool. So first I just kind of emailed him and said, hey, I really like your show. I've been reading you. I was like, I don't know if you remember or not. I was in the Scenario Hangout and we talked a little bit, blah, 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 but I'm doing this project called Infinite Imaginarium. And I didn't think anything of it. Then I got an email back and said, oh, we forwarded to Rushkoff. And then I actually thought the email was spam, like advertisement for Team Human. But when I checked the email, it was actually Rushkoff that was talking to me. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, hey, what's up, Rushkoff? And then I'm like, I do these video edits and I hope it's okay that I use your audio from Team Human. And I was like, if it's not cool, like, just let me know, blah, blah, blah. And so I send him what I did and he was like, whoa, this is really cool. I really like it. And then we started talking from there. And so I don't know what's going to happen with that, but it was nice to talk to him. It was cool.
You've had him on your show a couple times too, in fact. Have you not?
Yeah.
Minds panel show or just some sort of side project kind of deal?
Yeah, it was like a Scenario. I kind of like did some media work with Scenario and he was on a hangout with Scenario. So we got to interview him and talk to him.
What's happened to those guys? They've kind of fallen off the radar. Haven't seen too much of them lately around Minds. There was some talk of collaboration and work perhaps going on, some synergy there between the two platforms, and haven't really heard too much lately. Can you maybe get us up to speed? What's the latest?
Yeah, I'm... I think it was always my opinion that what they wanted to do was a very huge project. Basically, their vision was to overhaul the internet. But I think they bit off a little bit more than they could chew, and they scaled back a little bit, and they're testing out like an extension app. And I'm not exactly sure entirely how it works, but that's recently where they're working on. So their presence has been kind of mute recently. And I started focusing more on Infinite Imaginarium, doing my own thing. So, but they're still around, and I know for sure, I forgot what their app is called, but, yeah, what they really want to do, it's a big undertaking, but they did do good when they did their, initial crowdfunding. I think they got like over $2 million, so their development should be kicking in high gear right now.
Minds.com has recently undertaken its primary round of initial investor funding as well. They've managed to generate around $1 million, I guess, in support. Have you been following that at all?
Yeah, they got a little bit more than $1 million. Their goal was $1 million and they got more than that, and they actually did pretty good as far as the time frame that they got it. So there was huge support from the community, which was great. And actually, I was supposed to have a show with Bill yesterday and we were supposed to talk about that. But he's been, I guess, busy, and he wasn't able to make the show last night, so I wanted to actually talk to him about what's going on with Minds, the crowdfund and all that. So there's still a lot of questions that I wanted to get some answers from Bill, but it looks good. They updated the display. It looks really nice, if you notice that on mine. So there should be a lot more development coming up soon.
The way that they've shifted the format or layout around so that, I guess,
yeah,
the numbers and stats kind of are, they've been moved off more to the left of the screen, I guess, as people typically see them, and with subscribers and subscriptions and views and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, all the personal channel description and whatnot. It's, I think, yeah, it took a little bit of getting used to at first, about a day or so, and then, you just kind of, managed to roll with the punches, I guess. But yeah, I think there's a few of us definitely would like to talk to, get a chance to talk to Bill at some point. He did talk about rescheduling our interview, so we'll have to see how that goes. I don't want to pester the guy too much. That's just not really my style, and it's not really what the captain has advised, that we just focus on other things for the duration. We'll see what happens here as things unfold. But so let's just back up a little bit, though, too, to let people know that you are, in fact, one of the first people to actually really kind of get engaged with the Pirate Radio Podcast project. AWOL Aaron, who really we haven't seen too much of the last number of months, it's really kind of hit and miss, and there was a time there where we hadn't heard from the guy for well over 6 months at least, and suddenly he just popped up from out of the blue. Not sure what's really going on his end of things, his personal life and whatnot, but it wasn't, I think it was around January 2016, you actually helped to coordinate that first show, the premiere episode that we did with both Bill and John Ottman. It turned out to be, I thought, a pretty historic and a real great success. We had you, myself, Aaron, and the two Ottmans, I think, as far as I recall. And you, of course, helped out a lot with the initial website that we had put up in place. It's now what we're referring to as the archive site. So that's still up there. I think Aaron is taking care of that end of the operation, just seeing to it that it does stay up in place for people to view and access if they like. But maybe do you want to speak to that a little bit? Just how it is that you first came across us or the project that we were working on getting off the ground, and why you decided to become engaged?
Yeah, I forgot, it was some conversation me and you, Jaffe, had in one of the groups on Minds. And then you're mentioning you're doing some work with, what was it called? Dark Radio? No, I don't know. There's some project that you're doing. And I was like, oh, cool. And that's when, what was that chat platform?
Blab.
Blab? Yeah. And you're like, oh, let's jump into Blab and let's talk. And we're like, oh, okay. And then you're like, oh, we want to do Pirate Radio. And I remember I was the first test interview. You're like, how about we test interview you? And I'm like, what? This is kind of... I was like, every time I feel my initial reaction is like, oh, I feel kind of weird. And I was like, you know what? I shouldn't feel weird. Let's just do it. And then we did it. It was kind of fun and interesting. And I thought it was a good idea to interview Bill and John, which I had a little bit of a relationship because I was really active on Minds. And then it was you who actually inspired the Minds panel show. You said, hey, why don't you do your own little Minds show? And we kept that in the back burner for a while. Then it was me and Gov Spiders who started Minds panel. Then for Minds panel, I did Infinite Imaginarium, and then the story of Satori D keeps on rolling from there.
Well, that's great. Isn't that something, the way that creative synergy works? I mean, people, we inspire each other, I guess, is really, that's how I see it. That, I mean, there's little things that you did. For example, the slogan, what is it? Something, the digital, sailing out on the digital waters, and I kind of...
Yeah.
Tweak that a little bit to have it more, read more along the lines of sailing out on the high digital seas. you know, I gotta emphasize the high end of things, of course, these days especially. And, yeah, there's no pirates that aren't too worried or concerned, afraid of getting too high from time to time, in whatever manner that may be. But, yeah, it's, don't you find that yourself though, that we all kind of do sort of tend to inspire each other, and there's little things that people do throw out there from time to time that others pick up on, and they just kind of, they take the ball and run with it essentially to evolve and develop these kernels or seeds that eventually turn out to be something quite productive and fruitful.
Yeah, definitely. And that's actually at the core of Infinite Imaginarium. Basically, Infinite Imaginarium is also a podcast that we do, but more than that, Infinite Imaginarium is about trying to tap into or harness that kind of lightning in a bottle of this synergy of what happens when people just hang out like we're doing right now. There's things that come up. I'm really interested in the collaborative intelligence, this information that's in between us. But not only that, where Infinite Imaginarium tries to focus in on is the power of art and being creative. And there's ideas that maybe I have half of the picture to, and then when I go and talk or have these chats or even on the show, we come up with these little seeds, like you're saying, little kernels of ideas. And then from there, what I really want to focus on Infinite Imaginarium is to plant those seeds and take care of them, and so they grow. And what we're doing right now is trying to develop this little web series, and it's called The Luminous Dark Tales. And they're basically misadventures in, like, our own personal tales. And we're developing that right now. And it was cool because I did a first kind of like mock thing, and I got Seek Gnosis to I actually posed him, hey, if you want to recite one of your poems, and he actually did a rap, and then I had Nikki do this kind of like intro thing, and then we had some images from Missy, and it was just really neat, the process of having everybody come together. And one of the things that I had early on when I was doing the Minds panel show was a lot of people were like saying I was trying to define minds or whatever, this and that, and I was like, you know what? I don't want hive mind. I want a mosaic of minds. I want every individual to express their own unique stuff. And we get this weird kind of complex picture once we start doing these different things. And I think that's what drew me to minds. In the very early stages, it was just like a free-for-all. Everybody was kind of just like, had this energy of like, let's do something. Like, we have this platform. It wasn't easy to use. Some of that has fallen recently, to be honest. But I still kind of harness that flame. And that's where Infinite Imaginarium comes in. And anybody, you don't even have to be a part of Minds, is welcome to join Infinite Imaginarium. All you have to do is have this intent to play make magic happen. I think you're the one that came up with that one time. I forgot what you said, have fun and make magic happen or something like that one time. And I just like launched onto that. So that's what we're trying to do with Infinite Imaginarium. That's mainly what I focus on right now.
Damn, I should have trademarked that little slogan. Could have made millions from it, I'm sure. So, yes. So we've got, well, thank you for that, Daniel. That's great. A little bit of backstory and kind of an overview of things. The history of Infinite Imaginarium and the Minds panel show. How we managed to cross paths via Blab and so on and so forth. We've got a few people here, filling up the live streaming chat via YouTube. It's always good to see. Handful of folks. Of course, Bathtub Jen with her request there, the comment that she made earlier. And we have a gentleman actually from Mexico City, Pablo Novi. Yes, I just actually bumped into him on Facebook today. So that's great that he made the decision to drop by and share a few of his thoughts.
He's quite active there at the moment, so we'll try to catch up to speed on your comments here, Pablo, in just a moment or two. But on top of that, we've also got Todd Jackson and America Nuck Radio host Mike Phillip, or Mike Philippe is another way, I guess, a person could pronounce his surname. Both of these gentlemen are actually booked for the month of July, so we're looking forward to having them join us here aboard the Robin Hood as we approach this coming month. Almost managed to round things off here for the what we're billing as a rather trippy month of June. Of course, the last week of this month will be the ayahuasca and shamanist themed show with Peter Gorman and Alan Shoemaker, two people that were suggested to us by Bo Keeley, who came to us initially courtesy of Jennifer Knight. So we once again would like to thank her for her efforts in helping to line Mr. Keeley up. He's proven to be a very valuable contact, very helpful, and a truly fascinating character. But speaking of shamanism and the like, that is once again, that ties back to your avatar, Daniel, that we see you using all over the place. Is there a chance you'd be interested in maybe joining us next week, helping to kind of hold down the fort? Hope maybe alongside, you know, the likes of Corinne or even Lord Stompy, who I think both of you have probably met by now. I'm guessing that a few of you at least will have something of an interest in shamanism. I know you, Daniel, have a very a great interest. So have you heard of either of these characters, Peter Gorman or Alan Shoemaker?
No, but yeah, I'm interested in, you know, that's right up my alley with Psychedelic Sundays and everything. So, yeah, that sounds very cool to jump in on.
I have a question.
Fire away.
Thank you. So your name means instant awakening, and you also call yourself shaman. But I asked you about spiritual stuff, and you're like, kinda, sorta. But everything you're talking about seems to be spiritual stuff. So set me straight here, please.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a trickster. I guess I kind of come from the school of thought of Robert Anton Wilson, and I'm in this kind of, just for my own philosophical thing and this maybe logic. And so, and it was kind of interesting too, because I kind of wanted to bring this up, but about 23, the Enigma of 23, and basically kind of Robert Anton Wilson's thing was that a lot of that is a self-fulfilling prophecy, your own bias of filling out your perceptions. So if you think something, then therefore it kind of unfolds that way. And for me personally,
he also said that people were stuck in their own reality tunnels as well.
Yeah. And so for me, I'm about kind of cleansing my doors. So yeah, I speak a lot of, I use different things. Like one of my favorite sayings right now, that I kind of always say, is, and it comes from Allen Ginsberg, and it talks about beauty. Beauty is beauty, that's all there is to it. If you're interested in yourself, then you're stuck with yourself, and you're stuck with your death. But if you get interested in beauty, then you launch onto something mysterious inside your soul that grows and grows like a secret insane thought until you're it. The main thing in the universe is nameless, so I call it beauty. And so I use beauty, consciousness, different words to maybe remind myself, but also jolt other people in to try to communicate this connectedness that's in between us, this oneness. I'm kind of more in like the Hindu philosophy that all things are consciousness, and I like the Hindu creation myth. But also too, I like to kind of fill out what other people are thinking and keep my mind open. So I kind of morph and change, hopefully, at least that's my approach. So I don't like to necessarily project whatever it is my own personal beliefs. Like, I don't believe in anything, but I have my suspicions. That's one of my favorite Robert Anton Wilson sayings.
It's hilarious to me. I'm very spiritual. Okay, so it's awesome listening to you because it's kind of like listening to a comedian. Because you're going from the father of Satanism all the way to ancient Hindu. I mean, isn't that kind of awesome?
Yeah.
All right, but you are all over the place. You're left and right. You're black and white and all of that. And I find it very intriguing and interesting, but I do see that it is mind, most of it, to understand.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also kind of interesting because in a lot of ways, so I use art and then sometimes even use my psychedelic Sundays to present things in the more spiritual way, but I think sometimes when you use quote unquote new age terms or spiritual terms, they're loaded words that whoever you're talking to have their already own reality tunnel, and they may not hear you if you speak using certain terms. If I talk about the great spirit in the sky from Native American philosophy, which I'm really more in tune to. I studied Toltec dreaming. I kind of had to stop that because my dreams got a little too crazy. I actually had a really interesting dream the other day, which was
good. Let's go there. Tell us about that.
Okay. So it was two nights ago, and the setup of the dream is that I was in this group and we're in this museum and we're looking at art, and I don't know, but there was this authority figure, and she, a female character, was a teacher slash counselor, and she was kind of like going through the museum with us, but I noticed something that was off about her. And there was five people in our group, and there was this girl that she was heavily trying to manipulate. And I told her, I kind of confronted her and told her, hey, I know what you're doing. You need to stop that. Like, you're trying to hypnotize her and trying to control her. Leave her alone. This is that we're here, like, exploring art and antique concepts. And, like, why don't you just let her be and, like, experience this? And then she told me, how do you know you're not hypnotized right now? Would you even know that? And I started kind of like spinning out, like, oh my god, like, would I even realize it if she was trying to manipulate me as well? And then I kind of like shook my head and I was like, no, it's like, don't get lost in your thoughts. I was like, you know what, I'm not going to give you that power to do that. Like, I don't care what you do. Like, you're not going to control me. Like, it's a losing game to try to control other people. The bigger game or the harder thing is to harness your own awareness, your own consciousness. That's the difficult task. And I'm...
You understand that at that moment, getting out of your head and into your heart was the safest thing to do.
Yeah. I felt my thoughts spinning out of control. I was like, that, I shook my head. I was like, no, like, don't let that happen. And then from there, it was kind of funny because that character kind of like broke down and she said, yeah, I'm also a shapeshifter. And she was morphing into this, younger kid to control the emotions of that girl. And she's like, I don't even know who myself is anymore. I've been playing all these games and I don't even know which version of me is the true version of me. And I was just thinking, and I had this weird little thought, and I was like, you know, that's funny because she's looking at losing the self because she's in the control mindset, but I'm trying to lose myself to connect to that beauty that I was talking about earlier, that universalness, that the, you know, opening up the heart and getting in tune with the Tao or whatever term you want to use.
And that's exactly what she helped you with. She gave you a scenario in which your head was dangerous, actually dangerous and attacking you. And you had to run into the heart.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
Yeah. I think that's a fabulous story. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, dream analysis and, you know, the Jungian approach, I guess that's one way of doing things. There's a lot to be said for it, for sure. The symbolic end of things, dealing with archetypes, of course, and sometimes a cigar really just is a cigar, but then other times it's like a big, somebody's big brown cock. You just never know, right? So, but yeah, I think, do you keep a dream diary, Daniel?
Yes, I do. I write like, especially like those type of dreams, I just write like a few cute, outlines. Actually, what I want to do with the Luminous Dark Tales is turn those dreams into little episodes, for that web series that I'm developing. Because a lot of what I kind of go by, like my own little whatever model that I have for the day, kind of comes to me in my dream, all the time. And I'm pretty active in listening to the deeper, aspects of myself. Like, for instance, you know, we're talking about the secret sauce and stuff like that. One time in a dream, I was at this hip hop festival and everybody was like, what are you doing here? You don't look like you belong here and this and that. And I it was funny in the dream. Like, I literally went up on a soapbox and I started talking about hip hop and like, most of the mainstream hip hop is not even real hip hop. And like blah 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 this and that, and I came to this line that still echoes into me and kind of like how I go about doing my video edits and Infinite Imaginarium. I've told everybody, why can't you say something deep and have a dope ass beat? And so that's what I always strive towards, to have this kind of like nice aesthetic to it, but also it's always with the intention to say something meaningful and deep. And that's one of the ways I go about doing anything I do creatively.
I wonder if you've heard of God Hop and Saw Rock.
No, I don't think so.
That's a bird.
Well, I'll send you links later, but they're amazing. God Hop is a female rap artist, and she does exactly what you said, so I guess you guys could really vibe.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds great.
So do you manage to get out much then in L.A. And visit any of the clubs, Daniel? Or what kind of, how are you tied into the scene down there exactly?
Well, back when I was like in college and younger, yeah, I would go to a lot of, I was really heavy into the punk rock scene here in East L.A. I used to kind of be like roadie for my band, for my friend's band, and like help promote them. And we would go like backyard gigs all the time. Then from there, kind of like I would go to some of the stuff, in Hollywood. But then when I kind of went on my shamanic journey up into the clouds, whereabouts unknown, I kind of went away from a lot of that stuff and went more introspective with myself. And then when I came back, it's kind of to do more of this creative stuff that I've been doing with Infinite Imaginarium. But I still, like I was talking about earlier, I'm in kind of like the underground culinary scene here where we do pop-ups and different things like that, which are interesting. But yeah, I mean, I'm here in more East LA area, but through working in different kitchens and doing catering, I've been all over West LA, the Hollywood Hills, Studio City. I used to, at the farmers market in Studio City, we used to have a spot and we used to do Spanish food and we did paella and stuff like that. So I mean, I've been doing a lot of different things here.
Keeping quite busy from the sounds of it, definitely. So,
what are you doing on Sunday?
Sunday? Nothing.
Yeah, do you have plans?
So. No, I don't.
There is an ayahuasca question answer situation going on in East LA, and I can send you details if you're interested.
Yeah, that sounds great. Close. I like it too.
Nice. So, are people...
Where in L.A. are you from, or where you're living at right now?
I'm 10 minutes from downtown, so I'm in South L.A., and before South Central, but close, so give me my street cred, please. But I'll be going to that answer question session, so I could meet you there if you end up going.
That sounds cool.
Speaking of meeting up via WPRPN... Pirate Radio podcast and what have you. Did you have a chance to cross paths with Aurora last week, Corinne?
Aurora's going to be here all summer. Why did I say Sunday? All right. That's what we were just talking about. So we're going to have a chance to get together. I'm very excited to speak with a walk-in because I speak her language. She speaks mine. And I think it'll just be like old souls coming together. But space souls, you know, star seeds. It'll be fun.
Okay. So you haven't had a chance to do that yet. I know that the two of you were kind of toying with the idea of maybe meeting for coffee. You know,
she's just now unpacking. Give the girl, you know, some time to chill.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. She's working on becoming a full-time resident of Los Angeles. Is that correct?
All I know is she's staying with a friend for the summer.
Ah, I see. All right. So I'm not sure if you had a chance to check that out last week or not, Daniel. We did a pretty funky kind of groovy show with our guest at the time. Her name was Aurora. And she was promoting her Flying Rainbow Lasagna project, a bit of a visionary artist. I think what Corinne has referred to as a starseed walk-in, if any of these little terms or catchphrases mean anything to you or not. But if you didn't catch the show live last week, we've got a post-production MP3 product that's going to be published up on Podomatic here shortly, so maybe you just have to wait for that. I can shoot you the link and just leave it up to you whether you want to see what it is.
Yeah, I follow Pirate Radio on Podomaniac, so I'll get the notice when you upload it.
That's where you guys actually have your show now too, is that not the case?
Yeah, we started Podomaniac Infinite Imaginarium.
That's pretty new though too, isn't it? That hasn't been around for that long.
Yeah, it's only I think 3 months now.
Okay, because I'm not sure if we've hooked up there or not. I got to get on top of that. As you can imagine, we're kind of, you know, spread out all over the place here. Myself in particular, trying to manage things as best I can from my vantage point here aboard the ship. So Chief Communications Officer, the task list and the workload often, it gets to be a little much at times, but so far, we're managing to more or less keep up on top of things. Yeah, looking forward to hooking up with you there on Podomatic, and it should be kind of cool for sure. So, have you guys, have you opened up like a little Patreon account or anything like that? And Patreon, of course, for people that don't know, it really is, it's nothing more than a tip jar. That's all it is. Like anytime, for example, you see someone out on the street busking, you shoot them $1 or $5. The most I ever got when I was out street busking, I think, was 20. Private gigs, I got $100 a couple times. That was kind of cool. Doing the guitar and singing, howling at the moon or what have you. That was a blast. But yeah, the Patreon thing is just it's a tip jar kind of set up there. And, we do encourage people, of course, too, that do tune in and listen to the show on a regular basis. There's some that even just have, it's like $1 gets you full access to our premium after show Rogues Gallery content. And we're off working on putting together all kinds of different little other perks as well, too. So, but have you heard of Patreon? I'm assuming you have, of course. But have you got that worked into the Infinite Imaginarium project yet or anything like that, Daniel?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the Patreon. We haven't yet done it. We are getting there, I guess. I've been wanting to do that, but I've been trying to... You know, what you were saying earlier about having different people, and I'm trying to get everybody flowing in a better creative workflow before we get there, I guess. And so, yeah, we're going to do that fairly soon.
Okay. Well, definitely looking forward to that. It's good to let people know about. This also reminds me, did you not manage, I thought you were one of the first people to put together one of these, the subdomain URLs that we have available over via the WPN.com. I'm just going to quickly, there we go. Sure, that popped up right off the bat. And that took you all of what, 5-10 minutes to put that together?
Oh, yes, yeah. I actually did it while we were chatting.
Yeah, a lot of people don't quite get it, but what, just don't you give them kind of the lowdown of how that works, how easy and straightforward it is. I think, and of course, Corinne, occult priestess, she's got one over there too. Any of our guests, they automatically become entitled to a complimentary subdomain link. So we're more than happy to just, you know, to show our gratitude to people that make the effort, take the time out of their busy, their schedules and their days to offer them. That's the least we could do. So, why don't you just give them once again, just a bit of a rundown and kind of overview of how that works. It's not that difficult, is it?
No, it's really simple. Even if you're not familiar with WordPress, which is the web development service that you use, it's very, very user-friendly and straightforward how to set it up. It's not more complicated than writing a blog, basically. And I did it within 10, 15 minutes when we were talking. I remember back when we first started the website, I had access to it, and then all that other stuff that happened, and then you do the new website. And once I got access, it was very easy to set up the page and put up some of my links to the our YouTube channel and my video edits that I do. So it was really fast, easy,
sure,
and very neat.
Betcha. Yeah, it's something that we definitely like to draw to people's attention on a regular basis. We're actually also offering people commission or finder's fees. So if you're able to bring anyone on board, if it's a private or personal account, you get $5 right off the bat. There's another $5 that goes into the community kitty. That's the collective kind of treasure chest for the charity end of things. And the other one-third of that $15 goes back to help maintain and keep the Robin Hood in operation, sailing smoothly along. Business, merchandise, or commercial profiles are $60 a year. So that, and that's a three-way, like $20 split, $20 for all parties concerned. And on top of that, it's not just a one-time thing. Every year, as long as those accounts stay on board, you keep getting paid out. So if your friend comes along and they get, they put a profile together for $15 a year, every year that they stay tied into the network, they will end up getting $5. If, once again, if it's a commercial kind of deal with merchandise that they're selling or what have you, every year you will get $20 guaranteed. It keeps coming to you. So that's the way we've got things laid out for the public. We got 8 people presently tuning in and checking out our show. It's great to have everyone aboard, of course. Bathtub Jen had to take off and attend to a few of her personal matters, I guess. Pablo Novi is sticking around, very active in the chat and commentary area there in YouTube. So actually discussing the possibility of maybe doing a show with him at some point. He seems to be something of he says for the past quite a few years, actually, a social activist of types, a peace activist and whatnot, someone who doesn't quite subscribe to the official 9/11 conspiracy theory narrative. Let's not forget, too, even the official story is a conspiracy theory. So the one that the insiders within the state that they try to they've been wanting people to believe all these years. But who knows? There's any number of subjects that we could discuss, of course, too, as far as all this business is concerned. I'm just not so sure that we're going to do much of that here today. We have Daniel aboard, courtesy of the Infinite Imaginarium. So thanks, Joe Emanon, once again for dropping by. It's great to have you tuning into things as well, kind of helping to hold down the fort. So I'm just thinking here as far as the next talking point goes. Well, let's go back a little bit more, if we could, to your, how about we do this first? Digital shamanism. How exactly would you define this term?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because when Tim of Life as People wanted me to interview me on the show, he kind of said what you said is like, oh, can you give me a bio and a little thing to put up for the show? And I was like, oh, I feel kind of like, what do I say? And I was like, oh, you know what? let's just invent something. Like, what would I do if my character, the Bee Shaman, had a business card? What would it say on it? And I said, he's a virtual kind of person, so he's a digital shaman, and his business is turning digital dreams into reality. And it was something kind of like just popped into my head, and I kind of just played with it and went with it for that first one. And it's something that I have on my Medium blog as part of my bio there. And it's just something that I was kind of playful with. But there is always a kernel of truth to any kind of little joke, right? And that is actually one of the mission statements for Infinite Imaginarium. When we have a good idea, the main objective is to turn it into reality. One of the big, longer visions for myself, and this happened on one of our first shows when Dale at the Wildcard from Minds, who actually first initially started the seed of Infinite Imaginarium with the 24-hour Imaginarium, which was like a kind of like this creative holiday on June 6th. We just recently had the first anniversary of it. We had a whole kind of like campaign about it. And it was basically to get people to kind of like take the day off, or even if you're working, take a long lunch, do something creative, play some music, do some art, we had a breathing room for people to go into a breathing room and get in tune with some breathing. We had two shows, one with Life as People and then another one with us. And it was just to kind of like spark people to have an excuse to play and make magic happen. So
it sounds like Andy Warhol in the factory back in the day.
Yeah. And it's kind of how I see the big picture for Infinite Imaginarium is basically a virtual creative space. And we're kind of slowly but surely bringing different tools together. Like, for instance, we use Lumio, which is a collaborative decision-making app. And so it's like has a message board and it has a voting mechanism. And it's just to help flow people to make decisions together. So, like, when we talk and have these discussions, that if we have something really that resonates with us, that we could act on it. And we could get people who resonate with that, and then we could do little side projects.
But I can see there where people would then accuse you of the hive mind syndrome.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing, is that I want everybody to, and I've actually told one of my friends that I'm trying to get on to Infinite Imaginarium. His handle on Minds is at Waterwave, and he's a really good visual graphics person. He does these great animated images, and he does video editing, and I really like his style, and I really like how he is. And I told him, look, we could come together, and I don't know how it's going to work, but once we have a relationship with each other, and we talk more, and we hang out, and we just build a relationship with each other, we'll see how it flows. But what I'm thinking is that once in a while we come together and we maybe co-edit the Fit Imaginarium podcast. But at the same time, you could use anything of Infinite Imaginarium, the raw audio, our images, whatever. Cause I know in the show, there's going to be something that resonates with you that I don't see. And I want to encourage you to explore that. Because then it goes to what Jaffe was saying, that I get inspired by him. Actually, my secret feeling with Infinite Imaginarium is to have the sustainable creative flow. Because sometimes when you're creative, you go in these bursts and you do all this stuff, and then there's this kind of like lag or hangover syndrome. But I think when you have support of different people, that maybe when I'm coming low, Waterwave will help bring me up and inspire me to do a little bit more, or see something that I don't see. That, and that's where it goes with this mosaic of minds, because they could be the same raw audio footage and he does something totally different than what I do, but yet somehow, you know, it comes from the same seed. And I can't wait until where there's Infinite Imaginarium shows or web episodes or projects that I have no part of, and I'm a fan, and I'm sitting and watching Waterwave and Missy and Nikki or whoever else doing something, and I log on and I'm like, oh shoot, this is a cool episode, like I really like that, and I want to do this with that, or this inspired me to do this or that. And that's what I'm waiting for. I'm personally always encouraging other people to keep their own autonomy and their own personality, because I kind of go with this whole thing, this great motto. I forgot who said it, but he said, the lover knows that more for you means more for me. And so the more I empower Waterwave to do his video editing and everything, the more I give to him to be the best version of himself, it's going to inspire me and keep me sustaining to be the better version of myself as well. And that we'll have this kind of dance of creativity. That's what I'm hoping for, you know?
I totally agree with this philosophy. It's like you want to bring the realm of the muses down to earth, so to speak, you know, 3D, and that you're watering each other's gardens, and that encouragement, even if you have to fake it sometimes, because I do sometimes have to fake it and just say, man, you're great, you're awesome, and eventually they do become so. So it's a wonderful thing that you're doing.
Yeah, that's so great that you mentioned that about faking it. Sometimes, you know, and it's not necessarily faking it, but you have to sometimes, you know, we're human too, and life gets on top of us. But, you know, like, for instance, I've been sick, and it was funny because Bill, we usually have our show on Sunday, and I was like, oh, cool, we're gonna have a Sunday, I could get well. But then Bill's like, can we have it earlier? So I moved it up to Thursday, and I'm like, oh my god, how am I gonna pull this off? I'm not feeling good. And I was like, you know what, just, let's fake it. And I was telling Nikki, oh, how are you guys doing on this fine day? And then I told her, I was like, oh, I thought you were sick. I was like, yeah, I'm trying to placebo effect myself out of my illness to be well. But once the show started going, I got the energy back, and it wasn't no longer faking it. Like, I did feel good. I was like, oh, man, I need to jump in the Imaginarium to get over my illness.
That's why they call faking it till you make it, and you made it.
Yeah, definitely.
There's no doubt that we do feed off of each other's energies, and sometimes not in a good way either. We got to keep a sharp and a keen eye, a lookout for these so-called psychic vampires, which I myself don't have much time for. It's great, though, when you come up against them, because I think I do a relatively good job of weeding them out of my life, personally. You know, so that's always a lot of fun. But yeah, the synergy is really critical. Absolutely. You just mentioned Sundays now, Daniel. That just triggered something in my memory here. You had, the Psychedelic Sunday show up in place for a little while there. Are we still hearing from you on that end? I thought it was a great idea. Would really like to, you know, see more of that, which we could continue to remind on over on the minds.com platform and elsewhere, of course. What's the latest?
So I do try to keep up with Psychedelic Sundays, but recently we moved Infinite Imaginarium to Sundays for Nikki. How Psychedelic Sunday started was, what's his name? Oh, Born Free Angel. In the early days of Minds, he was having these, like, oh, to build a community, we should have certain rituals or like kind of these things that we do, Typing Tuesday and No Meme Mondays, and he was doing all these things, and I kind of like in my own head I was like, well, why don't we do Psychedelic Sundays? And I was kind of telling my friend, and it was just something like this inside joke that me and him had. I never really promoted it, but I just subtly every Sunday, if you notice, especially back in the day, my feed had all to do with psychedelic videos, latest research, whether it's like a Terrence McKenna thing or whatever. This is how I always operate. Like, I start off slow, then it's always like, okay, what can I do next? So then it wasn't enough for me to just put posts. Then I made this kind of what I do. This is part of my digital shamanism, and I did this with the Minds Panel Show. I wanted to get the Minds Panel Show going, and I wanted to get the Psychedelic Sundays going, but it was really hard to get everybody in the same place. And a lot of times if you tell somebody something, it doesn't really click with them, but you got to show them. So I did a Minds Panel Show before there was even a Minds Panel Show. I took people's audio and I put it, mashed it together, and I made a show. And this is what I did with the Psychedelic Sunday show. I just got like I was interviewing Terrence McKenna and I ripped some of his audio and then I mashed it up with some music and visuals. And then, so that's always what Psychedelic Sundays is. It's probably like of a hope later that it turns into this kind of like a real podcast show, but it's usually just me playing around with different psychedelic media that I like and I post it up.
I remember hearing some of that actually. It was quite funny. Yeah, the Terrence McKenna interview. So that's it was very creative and definitely a great way to approach things. So yeah, definitely a bit of a cosmic giggle.
Yeah. And I have there's a good Psychedelic Sunday group on Minds for anybody who's on Minds and wanted to join the Psychedelic Sunday group. I keep that up pretty much. It's a good research thing where I put up the latest research going on with psychedelics and stuff like that. So it's cool.
Have not seen that one yet, I don't think. So I'm just going to do a quick search here while we're streaming live, see if I can come up with that link and then share it for people here in via YouTube and Skype and whatnot. Ah, there we go. Psychedelic Sundays. Yes. So I think Pirate Radio Podcasts, the Pirate Radio Network, more than happy to join that group. Speaking of the Pirate Radio Network, you actually were the person behind launching our channel, as I recall. Was that not the case?
Yeah, I did create the Minds channel for the Pirate Radio.
Yeah, there you go. So we've kept the same name. I mean, it is, you know, it's Pirate Radio Podcasts, or of course this with the new kind of larger umbrella organization framework, it's, you know, WPRPN, which of course stands for the World Pirate Radio Podcast Network. But yeah, we're running with the original name that you put together there, the Pirate Radio Network, and stick with that for a while and see how it goes. So yeah, you've got about 40 members there is what it looks like at the moment, and your feed's been quite busy. Joe Rogan is one of the latest content additions, top of the what you've got here in your group as far as the feed is concerned. Dennis McKenna, episode 946. So all kinds of great Stop Policing, Psychedelic Science, all kinds of great stuff. Measure to Legalize Psilocybin proposed at Oregon Psychedelics Conference. Well, that's kind of a note. Yeah, legalized nature. I wonder. Right? Let's see about that now. Yeah, I mean, that's some of the tyranny could not be any greater, you know, to me at least. I'm sure there's a few out there that would agree that when it comes to policing our bodies and our diets, it couldn't get any more insane or extreme. So you often hear government coming out talking about, you know, battling or combating extremism. Well, geez, you talk about the hypocrisy. So it's totally legal to consume poisonous and toxic foods with all kinds of crap and additives and sugar and chemicals and GMOs and you name it, lining all the supermarket shelves to an insane degree. But when it comes to things that are healthy and good for us, organic or otherwise from nature, like with plants or flowers or herbs, it seems like the powers that be do everything that they possibly can to clamp down and block us or prohibit us, restrict us from consuming these things. Why is that?
I don't know. It's interesting because this article I read probably like a week ago, the latest statistics, and it was saying that the psilocybin mushroom is the safest drug in the world, even safer than marijuana. I read that too.
And yeah. You mean you don't know why? You don't know the conspiracy why they?
Oh, I know why.
Well, then you tell us.
Because psychedelics are a deconditioning agent, and they try their hardest with the media and even their foods to condition us to be good little worker bees and ants and in our hives to do our things. But, you know, it's funny because I remember this one lecture that I was talking, I was listening to, and they were saying, yeah, the reason why pot is illegal is because it stops you, like, you know, and I actually told my friend a similar thing.
Yes.
Like, I had at work, and it was like, let's take some acid. And I'm like, I'm down, but I don't, like, I got work in the morning. Ah, you'll be fine in the morning. And I was like, I know, I could physically work, but I'm not going to want to. Like, I'm going to be like, oh, why am I doing this? Like, this is so ridiculous. Why am I cutting vegetables? Like, I should be out in nature. Like, getting in tune with the earth and the Tao and, like, writing poetry and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, I need to make some money so I could eat for the next week.
Tree planting was always a real hoot for me. I tell you, man, I would spark up just before, you know, heading out with a big, you know, my bags just loaded down with all these, spruce or pine plugs. And you go out there and start walking along the tree line, planting these little seedlings. And it'd get really kind of strange sometimes, the way that you would just, with touching the earth and just kind of communing with nature, I guess, really see the little bugs kind of, scuttling around and just, you know, really just kind of feeling, you know, feeling the ground, in your hands and the little twigs and leaves and even like the smells of nature and just everything being there in the moment was really quite, some really fond recollections and memories, very powerful, and ones that had a great impact, I suppose, in shaping me, contributing to making me the person, I suppose, that I am now. But let me just say quickly, too, this business of mind control, the actual word government literally means mind control. Not too many people know that. Maybe a few of our listeners, I would imagine, once again. We got a pretty bright crew out there, people that are, you know, pretty attentive and up to speed on things and don't necessarily always swallow the official line narratives that are constantly, they're being bombarded with via, you know, the mass media, in particular, the Operation Mockingbird puppets and so forth. But yeah, the gubernmente is, it's the Latin, the gubern is to control, the mente is the mind. Anytime you see that prefix in English, mente, parliament, testament, any sort of thing like that, you should be thinking immediately mind, you know, firmament, you know, so, and testament, of course, too, that's related to the testicles, if you can believe that. So, and you're taking a test today, kids. So, do you have the balls for this today here or not? You know, can you, you know, cut the mustard, make the grade? But, mind control, and basically, you know, this ties back into the Rushkoff, the mentioning of, we brought him up earlier, Bathtub Jen wanted you to reference him, this business of program or be programmed is something I was well aware of before I ever, it was drawn to my attention, I believe by you, actually, Daniel, in one of your presentations or discussions, that, you know, it's something that he's, you know, also very big on too, that, you know, we have to be kind of aware of this, that, and this is where the autonomy comes in, of course, too, the self-naming end of things, rather than being dictated to and told by these outside third-party forces and agencies who we are, that, well, how about, you know, maybe we make an effort to work these things out ourselves, if you follow what I'm getting at. So what do you think about all this, this business of being a program or be programmed, government and mind control versus the autonomy, the self-governance end of things?
Yeah, program or be programmed, this is actually another little hidden attention with Infinite Imaginarium, is when you create media, your media literacy comes up and you see how whoever's editing has their own biases in what they think is important and what they put in the presentation. So it really gets you to think. The power of Infinite Imaginarium, in my point of view, is giving people the experience of creating whatever it is creating, but I think more importantly too, in the digital landscape, is creating these media so that you're not passively being programmed by the media, but you're actually being active and programming the media. And also too, this is important what he was saying in his book, Program or Be Programmed. That's why we need to, not know programming in the sense of we're gonna write, minds code, but know the basic language of programming and the structures, because then you get empowered and you're not being used by the algorithm, but now you could use the algorithm, and you're kind of like that thing where you were in that dream where I was like shaking my head out and like, no, I'm not going to allow the biases of the internet, of media to program me. I'm going to take my own agency and start to mess with it and dictate what I give my power towards, what I give my attention towards, and being more conscious of that. And this is why I really gravitate towards Minds and what Bill said about open source software. He uses the analogy that open source software is like eating organic food. You know what's put into it. So when you go in proprietary software like Google and this and that, it's more of these GMO foods. You don't know what's in it and how they're kind of using your data. Like what got me in trouble with Facebook on one of my episodes, I was talking about how Facebook, when they had the whole Thailand 8 or the whatever, and I interviewed this one guy about it, and how they were using, they're selling their data of these people, private chats, to the Thai government, and people were getting prosecuted for saying that the Thai government was horrible. And like this one lady, she was getting 9 years for agreeing with her son that the Thai government was awful. She didn't even say it was awful. She was just agreeing with her son. That was the most egregious charge. And I still believe she's in jail for that. And I was saying that Facebook are digital traffickers. They're selling our data to the highest bidder. And this is what they do with us. And we don't even know it, you know. Well, some of us do know it. And I think, you know, and this is always this battle that we had, especially early on in Minds and with the Minds panel show. A lot of people didn't want to use Google Hangouts because of all the stuff that Google did. And we tried hard to use Appirian. Jitsi was the most promising of the applications. But Jitsi didn't support mobile. So if we use Jitsi only, then half of the people that wanted to get involved with the Minds panel show weren't able to use it. Appirian would collapse when we had more than 5 people in the room. So I told him, look, I don't want to necessarily support Google or YouTube, but to be real about it, if we want Minds and our stuff to get to the level where we make Google and YouTube and Facebook obsolete, then we have to use those tools because that's where the people are. And that's where we could get Minds growing and to be a self-sustaining digital ecosystem where we don't have to use these middlemen of YouTube to get our message out, or Facebook, or this and that. I really tried not to use Facebook that much. It's only out of necessity. I'm hoping with the new crowdsourcing that they could really start developing Minds to get to a level where we have all the functionality and it's like, for instance, uploading my all my audio onto there without it being a real problem. I don't know if they solved that yet, but there was this cap on, like, I couldn't upload anything more than like 40 minutes or something like that. And it just takes long. It's not as great as uploading it to these other services. Being more conscious of how you're using stuff so you're not being programmed, but you are programming stuff.
Absolutely. And let's not forget, too, Facebook. You actually, I guess, had one of your accounts blocked or something like that. You're having some issues over there. So you had to open a new, a new account.
My secret.
Hey, listen, here's the thing, though. I know it's an ongoing kind of debate or discussion. I really do think it's important to keep our Facebook accounts as long as we can. I'm surprised, actually, that I haven't been completely blocked, or there's been a few times where I have been shut down for a week or two. I haven't been able to upload content or anything to the groups because the bots, I guess, with the algorithms they have there, they don't like the idea that you're sharing too much, too many stories or links or that sort of thing. So, but I think it's important because Minds, let's not forget, has a direct channel to Facebook and that we can share content from the one platform to the other, from Minds directly to Facebook. And that, I believe, is really helpful in doing what we can to better promote and maximize the exposure of Minds.com, to tell people about it, to let the world know that there are alternatives out there. So whereas a lot of other people, they say, oh, I'll just delete your Facebook account, you know, I've had enough of it, Facebook sucks, which it does, you know, hashtag FUBAR. At the same time, we can use that to our advantage as far as, if you know what I mean, like getting our kind of our hooks into the Kraken and doing our best to kind of keep pecking and picking away and exposing them, basically, as well as hopefully, you know, holding them accountable. But yeah, it definitely seems like every day Facebook just continues to get worse and worse as far as the things that they are blocking people from doing, and with, you know, added sharing content and all kinds of just ridiculous things, you know, that it's not so much like a social networking platform as a social, like, censoring platform. The reach that I've managed to establish via Minds is outstanding compared to Facebook, you know, so they really want you to pay for it over there, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, we recently started our Infinite Imaginarium page there, and it was so funny from, like, our Infinite Imaginarium channel, I think it's up to 17,000, almost 18,000 or whatever. So, like, we get good reach on Minds, Infinite Imaginarium. And so it was funny for me to use Facebook to try to get certain things out. And constantly you get this message, oh, do you want to boost it to everybody that's following your page? Please pay $5. More people are going to see this. And you're just like, what? Like, no, yeah, one sees this. No,
Minds.com, you know, do you want to use 500 points? You know, which Facebook doesn't even offer. You know, so yeah, we're not being rewarded there at all for our engagement or activity, are we? But yeah, Minds, they've definitely got that covered. That's really great to see. We've only got about really another just, well, let's say, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes, tops. I'm kind of just ballparking things here. If we could, why don't we just kind of just shift on back a little bit more to some of your influences. You've talked about Terrence McKenna. We haven't heard, I think you talked a little bit about Terrence McKenna, but if not, we can revisit him, as well as the likes of Alan Watts, of course. I know you referenced Cloud Hidden, whereabouts unknown. That's one of Watts's better known books that he put together back during his heyday there in the mid to late 1960s. I think he largely was based out of a houseboat in the Sausalito, California area, if I'm not mistaken. But on top of those two characters, of course, the Timothy Leary, Robert Anton Wilson, is there anything more you'd like to say about these influences and how much, you know, I'd imagine you kind of are, you know, you're of the view that you're and position where you're able to separate the wheat from the chaff. You might have picked up on the comment that we threw out there the other day when you started that little thread there regarding Ottman joining you for a conversation. We actually thought that had taken place. We didn't pick up on it in real time. We just kind of stumbled across what you'd put up on Minds, I guess, after the fact. But one of the things that what we added there to the mix was, beware the cult of personality. And that's just the general rule that we stand by here on the Robin Hood, as far as anyone is concerned, you know. So maybe speak to that a little bit, this guru kind of hero worship, to the point where we can, you know, it's as if they can do no wrong. And of course, you know, we're all human. We've all got our issues and foibles and flaws. I mean, it's even largely talked about how Leary was a CIA asset for a number of years. So any thoughts on this whole matter, the guru worship, cult of the personality?
This is pretty interesting. As well as us on Infinite Imaginarium, we try to be aware of this. I guess I'll illustrate it by a story. That one time I was working at this kitchen, and we had the ESPYs here, which is a sports awards ceremony, and LeBron James had his private party at our restaurant. And so, like, everybody was going crazy. And it was funny because there was this one runner who was, like a little kid. Like, oh, my God, LeBron James is here. LeBron James is here. LeBron James is here. LeBron James is this. LeBron James that. And, like, it was so funny because we kind of made fun of him. We're like, dude, why don't you, like, is LeBron James food ready? Like, kind of running out to him. This and that. I was like, dude, why aren't you like this on regular days? Like, usually we have to yell at you to come and get the food and send it out. And then now you're like, oh, like, LeBron James this, LeBron James that. And it was funny because, like, later I told the story to my dad. And we were in, I think, Walgreens or something. And I was thinking to myself, I didn't feel that same way about LeBron James. Like, is there anybody that I would feel like that towards? And I was thinking, like, all my heroes or people that I'm inspired by are dead. It's funny because Saul Williams, who is a poet that I really like, he said, oh, I'm inspired by a lot of dead people when they asked him this question about who are his influences. And so when I was thinking about all these people that I kind of like are influenced by, they're all dead. But at the same time, I don't think I would be that same way. Then I was trying to think of other people, and it was funny that I guess I would kind of be a little nervous if I met Douglas Rushkoff, but I don't view him as like someone to worship, but I view him as someone that I respect his work and that I've learned from, but also to what I was telling Misty when we had this kind of conversation when she was reaching out to this artist called Logic, and she was saying, like, he says he's for the people, and I try to call him out on it, like, hey, we're doing this, like, if you give us some time, like, blah, 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 this and that. And she didn't get a response, so she got kind of down on him. And I told her that's funny because that's what I did with Douglas Rushkoff. He mentioned in a show that he's willing to give his book out to people, but he wants to kind of know that they really want to read his book, and he'll give it to them free. But he kind of just wants to say a hello. And so I kind of called him out on that. And I said, hey, hello, my name is Daniel, blah, 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 this and that. I would buy your book, but I kind of like, you know, I'm a cook. I go paycheck to paycheck. But I really want to read your book because I really love your stuff. I've been following you for a long time, this and that. It took a while, but I did get a response from him directly, and it was interesting to have that. So it's more that I want to participate and play with these people that are doing stuff that I think are important or interesting. And so it's not like I'm in awe of them, but it's like, oh, these guys are doing some cool stuff over there. Like, when I went and contact Douglas Rushkoff, it wasn't be like, oh, I read your books and I love what you said. Like, I kind of said that, but I was more like, I do this and I do that, and I hope it's cool that I use your stuff. I said, I always want to kind of like bring something to the table. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm in awe of you. No, it's like, oh, you're cool. Can we play? And that's my point of view and on all of that kind of stuff.
One of the early shows that we put together here was with Adam Gorightly, the Prince of Discord, someone I think you may have heard of. Know a little bit about some of his work.
Yeah.
And that was my big, it's, you know, you live and you learn. I was a kind of a neophyte and a newbie. And I'm, you know, still working on developing my chops here, of course, too, with the whole interview end of things as far as the way to best present and conduct an interview. But the fanboy thing, I think, came across pretty strong, at least in my own mind it did. And it just was not the best interview that we could have done. I'd really like to have a chance to talk to Adam again. I might pitch him the idea here a little at some point here over the next couple months. We'll have to just play things by ear. As it is, we're all booked up until around August or so because, you know, we only do a weekly show, so it's not that tough to get guests in place and have things set up to have everything ready to go for the next few weeks. But yeah, that's a big issue, definitely, as someone when you are talking to an individual, a personality, not to be too much, come across as too much in awe, even though you do respect their work. And these people, of course, you know, with their intellects, you know, a lot of times they're kind of, they're a category all of their own and a kind of a notch above where I definitely see myself as, you know, coming from, for sure. So I always try to be very, approach things in a very humble and modest manner. But as you say, engage, get some kind of dynamic sort of synthesis and energy the magic that you referenced earlier, and possibly even managing to trip that cosmic trigger from time to time. So, you know, just a few minutes here before we draw things to a close. I'm not sure if we managed to make ourselves, if we managed to, where the hell were we today anyways? I haven't really noticed our surroundings too well. And I'm more focused on just having a good conversation with you here, but I don't think we quite made it onto the Robin Hood. I don't think we even made it into the Scurvy Dog. Maybe we'll save that for the Rogues Gallery end of things. Are you going to be able to stick around, you think? It's about an hour is what we're trying to keep things to with the premium content. That is what we do with the Rogues Gallery. And trying not to hold people over any longer than that. If people, the guests can only stick around for 30 minutes or so, that's fine too. But usually the rest of us carry on for about the full 60 minutes. You think you'll be able to make it tonight, Daniel? How's your schedule looking?
Yeah, I could hang out for a little bit longer.
Okay, well, what we're going to want to do here, of course, we haven't heard from Corinne for a while, so we're going to want to, of course, just see what she's got stewing over there in her magical little mind, and any thoughts that might have popped up over the course of the last few minutes. Corinne, anything that's kind of jumped out at you here, or as we've had our conversation kind of rolling along the last little while?
Yeah, you guys have been doing a good job. I've just been chilling, listening, enjoying the rhythms and the sound.
What do you think of this whole cult of personality business? Guru kind of
Word. Well, but I don't like that you use the term guru, because you know what it really means, what the true actual meaning of it is. But in this world, at this time, it's more of a TED Talk kind of jerk guy, right?
Well, the TED Talk, that whole business too. Like, I think Joe Rogan did a really great expose, had one of his guests come on there, and they talked about how it's more like a Scientology cult-like sort of operation than anything else. But let's leave that to the side for the moment and carry on. But yeah, guru just means from out of the darkness into the light. That's how it kind of breaks down, right?
Exactly. And it's a sacred, frequent tradition that souls incarnate for in samsara when they don't have to help others come to enlightenment. So it's a beautiful thing that's been twisted that we now call bosses, kind of, people that are bossy or in some sort of authority. So cult of personality can be very encouraging if you have a mythological mind and you think of people more like gods even than just the regular people that they are. And you see beyond the physicality and you see deeper. And really what you're doing is you're seeing into yourself. And if you can get empowerment, like I am still, as a 43-year-old woman, I am still empowered by Wonder Woman from 1974. So there, if you have a mythological mind, then you can deal with the cult of personality in a very healthy and wonderful way. So that's a good opinion. And that's mine.
Right. I guess with the whole guru business, sure, of course, there are the bona fide kind of genuine characters out there who, as you say, they reincarnate over many lifetimes, and they're really just here to help people in the true bodhisattva type fashion. There are others, though, of course, that are really sneaky and deceptive and end up, they turn out to be pretty rotten characters as things go.
I have current news on this, believe it or not. We just had International Yoga Day, and guess who puts that on? Guess who sponsors that and totally produces it?
Scientology? I don't know. I have no idea.
Close. The United Nations.
So
I was watching this guru. His name is Saad Guru, and it's with an H, so it's sad. And I always ask, you know, why is Saad Guru sad?
Why so sad? Yeah,
right. But now I know, because he's in league with the United Nations. I watched this whole ceremony of government officials, military men, and dancing almost naked children. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like a performance for a demented king. This is not International Yoga Day. So I can see where yoga has been totally co-opted for the New World Order, because the UN, the United Nations, with a minimal, you know, just 5 minutes worth of research, if you look up Lucifer Trust, then you will find the United Nations in their backdoor, basically satanic agenda of a new world order.
Right. It gets kind of tricky for me from a semantic standpoint, this whole business of separating Satan from Lucifer. And Mark Passio, I think, has done some great work as far as all that goes. I haven't really managed to sink my teeth into it too deeply, but apparently there are some key distinctions, you know, to be made, that they really aren't the same character, but they'd be definitely
But that doesn't concern us here, because to them, Lucifer is the Lord of Darkness. So that's their perspective, and that's the only perspective here that counts, is that they want, you know about the New World Order, right? They want total domination in a slave race, basically.
Right. One world government, one world religion, one world currency, one world military.
And one world religion through yoga, which can be very easily flipped into mind control, as you know.
Right. The Baha'i are the ones, supposedly, that's who the UN is promoting, and they've embraced as far as wanting to see serve as the ideal one world religion. So I guess we'll see. Myself, I'm, you know, we were talking earlier about the hive mind. Well, you know, pirates do have kind of a hive mind from time to time when they're, you know, in the heat of battle. You know,
that's called being in the flow, and that's when you're living in your soul and you're telepathic. That has nothing to do with the mechanical, digital hive mind.
Uh-huh. Well, teamwork and the fight to survival, I think, as far as how we see, as the pirates here on the Robin Hood, we see it, there comes a time to band and rally together. Outside of that, though, it's completely fine to just be your own person, be your own self, and do your own thing. You know, but when the rally cry sounds, that's when you're expected to rise to the call and meet the challenge and prove your, to prove your worth, essentially. And, we stand shoulder to shoulder out on the high digital seas, you know? So yes, let's see, you know, there's a couple other little things here too. I was hoping to maybe address these right from the top, Daniel, but did you hear about Rodman's recent visit to North Korea, the whole Potcoin business, and how he had been sponsored by Potcoin, and he went to North Korea to, one of the things he did was presented the dear leader, Kim Jong-un, with a copy of Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal. But did you follow that at all in the news?
No, I was not aware of that.
Because you know that North Korea, it's weed, the legal status there. You know what, how that works? You can smoke.
You can
smoke as much weed in North Korea as you want, in the sense that there's no law against it. There's no prohibition. Meanwhile, in the free and democratic, supposedly loving South here, you face pretty stiff fines, prison sentences, and as foreigners, I guess, even deportation, potentially, you know, just for having like a, you know, having a joint in your pocket or whatever, I guess. So, isn't that something though? I found that quite ironic. I really, in my own, speaking of infinite imaginarium and so forth, and visionary sort of, campaigns or what have you, North Korea for the longest time, I've looked at them, you know, in the sense of working on, let's try to come up with some economic solutions. Well, this is a no-brainer. Pyongyang could literally be transformed into the Amsterdam of Asia virtually overnight. The means are there, the political means, the vision is there. It just seems for some reason that the political will is lacking. I find that quite strange, especially when they are constantly turning and to the West with their hands out looking for some kind of donations or charity, you know, to help them with their flagrant and supposedly, you know, failing economy with people starving and all these other issues as well too, of course. So who knows what the outcome of things will be, but that was quite something. I'm not sure how many people were able to connect those dots with Rodman making the visit there and having Potcoin sponsor things, but we'll see how that all plays out in the end. It should be quite interesting, to say the least. You know about us challenging, of course, too, Seth Rogen. We whipped his ass, man. We blew him out of the water. It was like one shot. It was a Twitter war that we engaged in, and it was a single, just this, I guess it was an almighty shot from the cannon barrel there aboard the Robin Hood. It just, it took him down, man. He just, you know, blew the guy right out of the water. So that was quite easy. Pretty straightforward there. You know, we won the Twitter war. So, and the reason we're talking about that too is because he went to North Korea. Well, at least in the movies he did. And, you know, Hollywood's biggest pothead, he doesn't even talk about weed at all. Instead, he's there like, oh, I'm going to assassinate this guy in a country where you're free to smoke as much pot as you want. So that was quite odd. We challenged him to work on putting a documentary together though. And, he's to this point has yet to, answer the call or rise to the challenge. I don't know. Maybe he's afraid. Who knows? Dead in the water right now, though, unless he managed to somehow swim to shore. You ever bump into that guy from time to time down in Los Angeles?
Actually, I did see him one time at the comedy club.
Was he funny?
No, he wasn't performing. He was, like, hanging out, like, later after the show when they're at the bar drinking.
All right. Listen, one quick thing, I guess. One of the notes that I gleaned from a video that you'd actually put up, I'm not sure how long ago it was exactly, but you talked about smart contracts. I think that's worth addressing here before we wrap up. I'm not sure if you where you came up with this idea, but maybe did you hear the show we did with David Allen Zimbeck, the cryptocurrency boy one?
Yes.
Now, is that, where you got, is that where you got the idea from, or how did that, what's the deal there exactly?
No, actually, Dale at the Wildcard, who started the 24-hour Imaginarium, she was really part of the whole cryptocurrency blockchain stuff. And actually, I had a kind of, I don't know how long it lasted, maybe like a six-month show with Crypto Hustle. And it was me and Crypto Hustle, and we explored the whole blockchain, Bitcoin world. And that's how I got hooked up with Scenario. There was at one time where I was doing the Crypto Hustle show, the updates for Crypto Hustle, Mind's Panel show, and Infinite Imaginarium. I was doing like three shows at the same time. Dale wanted to start doing stuff with smart contracts. We had one of the first episodes after our initial episode was social contracts. And this is a lot what Scenario is doing with the blockchain. And so if anybody who heard that show or is familiar with blockchain, this is what they're trying to do, is give us the power to write our own digital smart contracts and making these kind of agreements with each other and basically cutting out the middleman for the government. And even more so, I kind of am interested in the blockchain, but there is still the inherent bias of capitalism that plagues the blockchain world. And there are whales that are, even though it's supposed to be decentralized, are controlling recently with this fork that happened with Ethereum. And so it's not as free and autonomous as the myth of blockchain is. You know, there's the kind of philosophy and myth of what it is, and then the actual muddiness of what's actually going on with it. And so This is something I see immense potential and power with, but also too, I want to always be kind of transparent with it. So this is why we use kind of like Lumio. It's more of, we all have these social contracts, right? Where we agree to come on to pirate radio and this and that. So the Lumio is kind of like this soft social contracts, is just to help facilitate further collaboration, and I'm more attuned with that. But I do see a potential with, like, I was in the discussions for making the Minds coin. I'm not too sure what actually happened from there. We kind of I guess some breakdown between Gus Spiders, Bill, and Lee Travis, something happened there. I kind of stood out of the drama. But those talks kind of slowed down. But that was kind of interesting. And from that show, weren't you supposed to do a pirate radio crypto coin?
We most certainly are. In fact, we've given ourselves a one-year time frame. We've got David Allen Zimbeck has committed to the project. The only thing is that at the present moment, he's busy with a lot of other work, We're in semi-frequent contact. I just chatted with him briefly the other day regarding the whole Potcoin business, his thoughts on the matter and whatnot. And we are most certainly working on launching a pirate coin of sorts, hoping to, you know, integrate that into the network as well as just offer it, you know, to the wider world too, of course. And to try to do as best we can to structure things in a way that accommodates and promotes this, the Robin Hood philosophy, which, as you know, is very much, there's a strong emphasis on profit sharing. So we're definitely, we haven't abandoned that yet by any means, believe me. But just going back, did you say soft contracts versus smart? Is that right? And then there's business of whales too, let's not forget, because
yeah.
I know what you meant. I think I follow what you're getting at there. I'm not sure if all of our listeners quite pick up on that, but if you could just clarify.
So recently there was a hack into Ethereum. And so what it's supposed to be is the miners kind of have control of the decentralized network. So it's supposed to be decentralized and autonomous and transparent, which it is, but the actual practicality is there's people that control more of the network than others. It's the kind of like the 1%. Like, I even heard that it's like 0.001% control, like 90% of the network. And so they make a decision and everybody kind of has to follow along with them. Me and Dale always had this discussion, and it's something that Douglas actually brought up. He says, more important than having a decentralized network is the onboarding process. Because when you talk about coins or money, it triggers this program within people. And majority of the people, when they hear money or coins, they think about gaming the system. Do we really want to bring that mindset into this new blank slate that we have and this new potential to empower individuals? Do we want that same mindset? And Dale said, yeah, she sees this a lot of times when she's there with people in the blockchain world. They all have the Wall Street mentality. They want to spend their money on hookers and blow. And it's like, why bring that mentality when we could create something so new? Like, we're kind of writing a new story for humanity. And why are we bringing all the old baggage that we have? And that's the harder part. And that's something why I like to focus in on this media and hopefully help this whole evolution of consciousness in a small way. I'm making my own little ripples of helping to bring in this possible future that I see. And this is part of my shamanism. I try to look in the digital landscape and what are the cool and interesting ideas, trying to project myself out into that future and pull that back in and present it in these talks and in these video mashups, or I'm trying to get in with Open Collective or Lumio or Douglas Rushkoff, and that's part of my evil master plan to control my own little digital world. In a sense.
Yes.
What are we gonna do?
So hey, listen, we can maybe pick up on that a little more, have that kind of fleshed out in greater detail with the back end of things, the Rogues Gallery, all kinds of different things, of course, that we could discuss. And you know, as far as having ideas bounce around and a lot of great synergy taking place, I think I've used that word today about half a dozen times now. So maybe that's the operative word for the day. I have no idea. But one last thing here, just quickly, where I think we could, speaking of synergy and collaboration and whatnot, and let's not forget that you've got these three guiding themes that you've integrated into the Infinite Imaginarium.
There's connect, collaborate, and create.
Connect, collaborate, and create. There you go. So how about that? That seems all pretty straightforward enough, and having those as your guiding central themes and guiding philosophies that hopefully manage to attract and interest more people over time here via Minds.com and various other social media networks. So, but the one project that I just that came to mind today that we've kind of left to the side for the last little while, haven't really given much attention to, but where I think we could maybe make some positive gains in is this whole idea of a creative catalog within the context of World Pirate Radio Podcast Network. This is something that we're hoping to develop more over time in the sense of accepting submissions from artists, their creative work, whether it's, you know, drawings or designs or what have you, with either like a pirate or even like a steampunk theme or any kind of funky design that they think might, there's some kind of like a, even like a Robin Hood type angle, anything to do with outlaws perhaps, you know, or rebels, or you name it. Just something that's kind of hip and cool and got a bit of edge to it, which is, it can be sexy, it can be serious. There's a lot of opportunity here for children as well, too, let's not forget. There's a fun side to what we're working on presenting here over time. We try not to take ourselves that seriously, although there is some pretty heavy material that we do address and cover from time to time. But, I mean, people got to learn to lighten up a little bit and enjoy life as it passes by. So what do you think of that, though? The couple names that come to mind, Princess Amanda is one of them, of course, as well as Alice W. So I don't know if there's any others. Once again, it's too bad that your friends from the UK, as well as Missy Nomer out of San Francisco, is not able to make today's show. But maybe they'll be able to hear the post-production product that we put together here, the audio format to the show, that end of things, or even just go and check out the raw feed that we've cut here today via the show that we've done here on YouTube. So I'm not sure if you follow what I'm getting at here as far as this creative catalog is concerned, but if so, any thoughts?
Yeah, I used to help with these contests for Minds when we did the Minds images. We did like a Minds like trailer thing. There's a lot of potential for a lot of pretty cool creations when you pose these things out, and I definitely wouldn't mind helping you do these little campaigns. Recently me and Missy were talking about our own Infinite Imaginarium stuff and kind of getting this list of resources to help empower people to use simple user-friendly apps on their smartphones. Actually, Amanda is a Princess did a really good job with these Minds contest, and she got this like nice little central resource for to help people on their smartphones to make animated GIFs, edit videos in small clips or whatever it is. There's a lot of different tools out there, and it's good to keep help empower the people to be creative and get involved.
One of the things too that we're hoping to do is to ensure that when people, through in the event, let's say like a t-shirt is purchased via WooCommerce or what have you, one of these online sort of you know, stores or outlets where they're able to make merchandise available to the public, that the artist, if their design is selected and that whoever is buying the t-shirt, for example, wants to use that particular design, that the artist is compensated every single time. So I guess, you know, we have to have some sort of licensing agreement or something along those lines, whether commission or what have you, but that would all, we'll have to just kind of take things as they unfold here, and whether that includes having to, you know, talk with our lawyer friends up in Seoul, just get a little more clarity from their end of things as far as what they think the best way of approaching this whole business would be, or what have you. But we definitely want to, as you say, like with these new technologies and so forth, like it's time, yeah, to change the game, shake things up a little bit in a good way, where people are given greater opportunity and allowed a little larger piece of the pie, and in particular entitled to the fruits of their labor. One of the things that, although I'm not a fundamentalist ideological Marxist by any means, you know, everyone has something good to say, usually, you know, so for me it's a question of separating the wheat from the chaff. But yeah, people should be entitled more to the fruits of their labor and be rewarded in accordance to that. So on that note, though, Daniel, just any closing remarks? Let's hear some of your, we'd like to know, of course, a few more of your, the URLs that you've got out there. As far as Minds is concerned, you've got your own channel up on YouTube as well, Satori D and whatnot. Maybe now's a good time to let people hear a little bit more about those.
For those people on Minds or even interested, go on Minds, add me at Satori D. I'm pretty active there. I also manage the Minds panel show, the Infinite Imaginarium. And I have a YouTube channel, which is Satori D. But recently, too, I've been working on the Infinite Imaginarium community, which is similar, where we put our raw audio of our hangouts and shows on there. And the Podomaniac channel, Infinite Imaginarium, is our more produced shows where they're more creative. We have clips from our hangouts or our interviews, and I match it up with some music with the secret sauce, and we do more, I do some spoken word, I get some other people to do some other stuff that's more produced, and that's where I'm going with the Infinite Imaginarium show. Always feel free to message me directly on Minds, or we have Infinite Imaginarium at Proton Mail to anybody interested of getting involved. I'll give you a link to join our Lumio group, and we could make some magic happen.
Always a good thing to try to work on making a little bit of that magic happen. So hopefully we've done a little bit of that today, tripping the cosmic trigger a time or two at least. Speaking of secret sauce, we have been, of course, streaming that via the Lo-Fi Hip Hop Radio on YouTube. They're relaxing beats to sleep and relax to, as I believe you informed us. They're totally copyright and royalty free, so hopefully that's not going to be an issue. YouTube in the past has done their best to demonetize as many of our videos as possible. Bob Dylan and Sony even blocked one of our shows that we did, a September 11th commemorative episode we put together just this past year. It's completely blocked worldwide, so that's always that always sucks. Corinne, let's let you have just your final saying things here too before we ramp things down and head off to the Rogues Gallery. Just any closing thoughts or comments?
Thanks for taking me along for the ride this evening. I had a good time. I enjoyed the thoughts and that I was inspired too. So I think that's probably the best thing that could have come out of it.
There you go. Yeah, that's why it's, and we appreciate you being a part of things. It's great to have, you know, someone like you to join us whenever you're able to make it. So I think there might be even a few upcoming shows as well, from the sounds of things, where you might really manage to make a pretty decent fit. So on that note, we're going to draw things to a close here as we transition on into the back end of things, a premium content Rogues Gallery portion to the show. Thanks to everyone who tuned in today. We had a handful of live listeners and audience members there. Joe Eminon, as is typically the case, of course. Bathtub Jen, haven't seen her around in a while, so it's great that she made a decision to drop back in and tune into the show. Pablo Novi from out of Mexico, very active and full of all kinds of great comments and ideas. So thank you to everybody. Hopefully didn't miss too many people. Of course, we had Todd and Mike there over on Skype as well. On that note, though, folks, I think it's time to get ourselves a little bit of pirate grog off to I think the best place we could probably manage to sit down and make ourselves at home would be the Scurvy Dog. Let's do that right now. Aye now, there we be. Having carefully looked over each of our navigation panel instruments, checking every level, switch, knob, and dial, by all accounts and indications, we indeed see it's time once again to drop anchor inside the bay and draw an end to another week of Pirate Radio Podcasts. Don't forget,
If you're looking for a little more free-flowing action, we've likely got another great Rogues Gallery After Show coming up next in either Google Hangouts or Skype. Also, if you've in any way enjoyed or found yourself benefiting from the shows we've tirelessly produced over the past 16 or so odd months, you might want to drop by our new Patreon tip jar page and lend a little support. Missouri-based podcaster and fellow Minds.com personality Innerverse recently decided to take a chance on throwing us a bone. Along with virtual Buccaneers Kelly Freeman and Carol Sloan, that now brings our official number of patrons up to 3. Presently commanding a whole 6 big ones per episode are unimpeachable longshoreman math skills. Tell us we're on course this year to set aside around $150 in charity. Help to keep those numbers growing over on Patreon, and we'll be able to extend even more of a generous pirate hand. Coming up next week, same time as always, we're rounding off what's proving to be an all-too-trippy month of June with South American-based ayahuasca and shaman experts Peter Gorman and Alan Shoemaker. If you yourself have an intriguing idea for a guest or story, you can either drop us a line directly over on WPRPN.com or fire us a quick email via PirateOneRadio@gmail.com. WPRPN.com network subdomain links are also now available. Great for artists, musicians, podcasters, social media personalities, or pretty much just any landlubber looking to boost their online visibility, presence, and reach. Basic accounts can be launched for only $15 a year. Staking your claim now helps not only strengthen you and the network, we're also looking out for the little guy. That's right, folks. Half of all WPRPN's profits are redirected right back into the hands of the people who really need it most. Community charity. After all, we are the Robin Hood. You can further embark on your own personal pirate journey by liking, subscribing, commenting on, sharing, and following any of our main social media channels via Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, or Minds.com. So don't forget to become engaged. Until we meet again out on the high digital seas, I'm your host as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Tally-ho!